Hello and welcome to workshop number 2, Friendship Evangelism. The outline for this workshop is found on page 6 in the workbook, so go ahead and turn there and we'll get started. In the last workshop entitled Preparations, we began the conversation about evangelism. We talked about motivation, how we're to have a heart for the lost. We talked about how evangelism works. We talked about how evangelism is meant to be a lifestyle, it's a way of life, and we're going to expand on that concept in this workshop. And then we're going to talk about, then we also talked about how evangelism has to be focused. You have to focus on a few, and I had you come up with your top 5 list. Keep praying for your top 5. Since it's God who changes hearts, we need to continually plead with Him to save our friends. If you learn one thing this year, learn to pray for your unbelieving friends. Now we've come to the second workshop. If prayer is the first step in evangelism, then friendship is the second step in evangelism. Let's begin our time in prayer and then we'll get going. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, you have shown us the extent of your love in that you sent Jesus to come to be one of us and to die and to save sinners like us. Thank you for your heart of compassion for us who were lost and dead. We were enslaved and hopeless and condemned. We were without you. Thank you for saving us and setting us free. Help us now to have a heart of compassion for the lost around us and work in the hearts of those on our top 5, our friends. Let them be saved. And be with us now as we talk about developing these friendships for their salvation and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, friendship evangelism. First question is, what is it? What is friendship evangelism? Well, here's the definition. Through the foundation of a genuine friendship, you have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with unbelievers. It's through the foundation of a genuine friendship that you have the opportunity to share the gospel. I spent some time in Philadelphia after I graduated from Geneva, and I volunteered for a year in Philadelphia. It was in West Philly that I lived. I learned a little bit of what it was like to be a minority in my community. That was a good experience. During that year, I played a lot of basketball on the street corners, and a lot of the guys I played with were drug dealers. And so during our games of roughhouse, there would be drug deals going on all day long, all game long. And over time, I got to know some of those guys pretty well. Through conversation, we talked about church and Jesus and what it means to be a Christian and talked about the Bible. Through friendship, God gave the opportunity to talk about Jesus with these guys who would never darken the door of the church. Well, that's the idea. Through a genuine friendship, you have the opportunity to share the gospel. This is how Jesus worked. He didn't just preach to people, but he lived with people and loved people. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. They knew that he cared for them, and on some level, that paved the way for them to listen. That's what friendship evangelism is about. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul talked about how he loved those people so much that he shared his life with them. They knew that he cared for them, and on some level that paved the way for them to listen to the message of Jesus Christ. So the challenge is that with your top 5, I want you to think about how you can develop those relationships into a genuine friendship so as to pave the way to share the gospel of Jesus with them. When people know that you genuinely care for them, they'll be more inclined to listen to you. One person said it this way: they won't care what you believe until they believe that you care. They won't care what you believe until they believe that you care. There's lots of truth to that. Then the next letter B, how does it work? Next question, how does it work? How can you develop these relationships? I'm going to introduce to you 4 phases of a relationship. Every relationship that you have is in one of these 4 phases. The first phase is the prayer phase. Pray for them. God gives you friends. God's the one who develops your friendships. So if you don't have many, if you don't know too many unbelievers, ask God to bring friends into your life who don't know the Lord. Some of you perhaps had trouble thinking of 5 friends who don't know the Lord. Ask God to bring unbelieving friends into your life. Ask God to develop your friendships with unbelievers. Maybe you're praying for someone you don't know really well. Ask God to develop that friendship and give you opportunities to interact. and ask God to bless your relationships, specifically with your top five. Those relationships would grow. So that's the first phase, pray for them. The second phase is get to know them. Sometimes your paths don't naturally cross with your top five friends. When this happens, it's going to take some creativity on your part. You need to learn the art of creative excuses. Think about it like this. When a guy likes a girl and he's trying to make a connection with her, he tries to come up with ways where they will casually interact. So when she's taking her tray up to the conveyor belt, oh, you happen to be taking your tray up at the same time. Oh, hi, how's it going? Funny to see you here. Then you walk out together. Or you happen to be studying outside her classroom when her class gets dismissed. Or you're studying in Sky Lounge when she's studying in Sky Lounge. And there's a fine line between creative excuses and stalking. So you got to be careful there. But you're not stalking. He's not stalking her. It's just creating opportunities. That's a good thing. Well, one of the things they taught us in Philadelphia was to come up with creative excuses to get to know your neighbors. They encouraged us to run out of sugar and then borrow sugar from the neighbor to make cookies and then take cookies back to them as a thank you. Or when your neighbor's sweeping off their front porch, that's the best time to sweep off your front porch and you can strike up a conversation. Find ways to naturally interact. If you don't naturally interact with many unbelievers, you need to brainstorm some creative excuses. And as you brainstorm, I want you to think of these creative excuses in three categories. Service, social, and shared interest. They all start with S. Service, social, and shared interest. The service category is some things like this. Making cookies, maybe around a holiday time, and handing them out to neighbors or friends. Shoveling their sidewalks, borrowing sugar, bringing cookies. I heard the story of a woman who was really shy. And she was a part of a church plant, and the church plant was trying to reach out to people and get to know neighbors. Well, she really enjoyed cooking. She didn't enjoy just meeting strangers, but she really enjoyed cooking. And she found out one day through the grapevine that her neighbor was sick. So she made a pot of chicken soup and brought it over to her. And she was actually too shy to knock on the door. So she left it on the front porch. She thought that was pretty easy. She started doing this. And at their very first worship service at this church plant, she had quite a few people come simply because of that connection that she made. Jesus worked this way. He struck up a conversation with a woman at the well. And although he wasn't serving her, he asked her for some water. That was a creative excuse, and it led to sharing the gospel. It was a real need as well, but it was a casual way to interact with her. So that's the first category, service. Second category is social. Invite them to do something with you and your friends. This is what Jesus did at the party in Luke 5. Jesus went and hung out with unbelievers, tax collectors, sinners. So invite them over to hang out. Have a Christmas party and invite them. Go golfing with them. Have a hall party in your dorm. Watch the game together. Play video games. Study together. Work out together. Hang out at a coffee shop or some third place to get to know people and to interact. As a pastor, I've had to figure out ways to meet unbelievers. So about 10 years ago, I started going to the Corner Tavern every Tuesday. And I have some really good friends there now. And we talk about all sorts of things, including Jesus. The third category is shared interest. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says that he became all things to all men so that he might win some. If your friend is a football fan, then become a football fan. If he's a hunter, become a hunter. If he likes books or video games or fantasy football, then take interest in those things. You know, I don't follow sports nearly like I used to. I used to be a diehard fan, but no longer. I was invited to be a part of a fantasy football league, and I have found it to be one of the best ways to strike up conversations with people, to talk about your fantasy football team. It started lots of different conversations with guys. So these are creative excuses. Learn the art of creative excuses and get to know your friends. Develop these relationships into friendships. So that's the second phase is developing the friendship. The third phase is how to be a good friend. When you have interaction with them, learn how to be a good friend. How can you be a good friend? Well, I'm going to give you 5 little tips on how to be a good friend. Tip number 1, be genuinely interested in other people. Be genuinely interested in other people. Many, many years ago, the New York Phone Company did a study on all the phone conversations that took place over the phone lines. They were apparently allowed to listen to all those phone conversations. And they wanted to know what was the word used most often, of course, besides the words the and things like that. And the most common word that they found was the word I. We talk about ourselves a lot. We like talking about ourselves. Well, to be a good friend, learn not to talk about yourself, but be genuinely interested in others. That's the first tip. Be genuinely interested in other people. Second tip, ask questions and be a good listener. Next to the art of creative excuses, you need to also learn the art of asking questions. Jesus asked lots of questions to get people to think and to talk. We need to do the same. Ask questions of people and then listen. Be a good listener. Don't jump in and correct everything that they say. Just listen and be interested. Tip number 3, take interest in the things that they're interested in. We talked about this just briefly earlier, but don't just talk about the things that you like. Talk about what they like. Find out what other people are interested in and take that interest on. Ask about it. The 4th tip is make them feel important and do it sincerely. There was a woman, I read a book that told the story of a woman who dated 2 of the most eligible bachelors in her day. And after going on a date with each of them, she said that after the first date, she thought that guy was the greatest guy in the world. But then she went out with the other guy, and he made her feel like the greatest woman in the world. See the difference there? Make them feel important. After Finley was born, I didn't send tons of texts to people, but I did make sure to send 2 texts to the guys on my top 5 list. I wanted to show them that they're important to me. So that's the 4th tip. The 5th tip and last tip is invite them to do things with your friends. Invite them into your circle of friends. We talk about that in the social category of creative excuses, but just invite them. Invite them to join you, to come along. So that's the 3rd stage, stage number 3 of developing a friendship. And then the final stage, stage 4, go below the surface. Go below the surface. Most of our friendships stay on the surface and they don't really go anywhere. Friendship evangelism takes relationships deeper so that you begin to talk about the most important things. The best way to do this is by asking questions. There in your outline, you'll find a list of questions. And I tell you where I got them from. Mission year, they told us to have a prayer time at our house. And before the prayer time, just go around the neighborhood and ask people if they wanted anything prayed. Wanted us to pray for them in any way. That opens up conversation. Bill Fay asked these questions. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus? Do you believe in heaven or hell? If you died tonight, where would you go? If you were wrong, would you want to know? Evangelism explosion. This is a diagnostic question. If you died tonight and had to face God and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? That will reveal what they're resting in, whether it's their good works or what. Bill Hybels asks these questions. I'm curious, do you ever think about spiritual matters? Do you ever wonder what happens to us when we die? What do you think a real Christian is? Where are you headed on your spiritual journey? And then just some another one that someone told me about, just simply asked, how's your spiritual life? And again, at this point, ask the question and just listen. Don't challenge or correct the things that they say. All friendships fit into one of these 4 categories. Which categories are your top 5 in? And what step can you take to deepen that friendship and move to the next phase? The last thing I want to talk about before we finish up are criticisms. There are some people who don't like friendship evangelism. They have a variety of criticisms that we need to hear and to be careful that we don't fall into these mistakes. The first criticism is that people never get around to sharing the gospel. It is a very real danger. We always think that, well, I'll do it later, and we never actually take the plunge to ask a deeper question or to talk about things that are really important. We need to take these relationships to the places where they really matter. If we really love them, then we'll go in this direction, matters of faith and salvation. Number two, second criticism is that they don't preach the gospel. If we don't get to the gospel, if we don't start talking about important things, then we won't be preaching Christ. So we need to be careful. We need to make sure that Christ is brought into this relationship. The third criticism is that it focuses on actions at the expense of words. You may have heard the saying, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And I understand what they're trying to say, but you can't really fully communicate the gospel unless you use words. Without words, people just think you're a nice guy. But they come to know Jesus by being told about Jesus. So don't just focus on actions, but be bold to share the word, to ask the question. The fourth criticism is that friendship evangelism isn't biblical. I don't understand that criticism because Peter, Paul, and most importantly, Jesus used friendship evangelism. He got into people's lives. And then five, people become projects. And this is a great danger. Instead of loving people, we can actually just try to manipulate them into being Christians or into being our friends or pretend to be their friends so that we can tell them about the gospel. That's not what we're doing at all. You don't pretend to be their friend so that you can share the gospel, but instead you love them as your friend. And because you love them, you share the gospel. Never treat people as projects. Friendship evangelism. It's through the foundation of a genuine friendship that you have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with unbelievers. So the first step of evangelism is prayer. The second step is friendship. Develop those friendships and in love, share the best news that we've ever heard, the news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the friendships that you've given to us. Give us more friendships with unbelievers and develop those friendships. And then out of love for them, give us the boldness and opportunity to talk with them about Jesus. You have so loved us. Help us to so love those around us. Show us what steps we need to take with our friends in order to be able to talk about more important matters, to move those friendships along in the right direction. Be with our top five. God, let them know you. We plead on their behalf that they would be among those who are forgiven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.